This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could tune in. Are sacred Catholic rituals and sacramentals supported by the Bible? That's our focus in this week's cover article. Along with his co-host Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about himself, about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner for today's program is Mike Gendron, the author of Preparing Catholics for Eternity and head of the ministry Proclaiming the Gospel. He's also one of the co-founders of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Welcome, Mike.
It's good to be with you, Tom.
Mike, since you and I have recently returned from a Reaching Catholics for Christ conference, I'd like to take some time and share with our listeners the why and what of such a conference. And first of all, let's take the title, a Reaching Catholics for Christ conference. On different occasions when I've mentioned that to some evangelical Christians, they were a bit shocked. What does that tell you, Mike?
Well, it just tells you, I think, the degree of compromise that's going on within the evangelical community today. Mm-hmm. It used to be a very black and white issue, Roman Catholicism and biblical Christianity, but because we have so many highly visible and highly influential evangelicals today that have all the television time and air time and are writing many books, many of the evangelicals are following them rather than following the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, for us, Mike, that's for a number of reasons, but foremost, we're former Catholics. So we have been there. We have experienced the bondage that comes with a legalistic system such as Roman Catholicism, and we've been set free from that. So now to be evangelicals and to talk to not just evangelical leaders, pastors, and so on, but also people who are born-again Christians, they love Jesus, they put their trust in him personally and in his word as their authority, it's a bit of a shocker when they don't see a problem with Roman Catholics.
Well, Tom, we were not only in legalistic bondage, but we were also in bondage to our sin because we had a false hope, believing another gospel, a sacramental gospel that was powerless to save us. So as harmful as legalistic bondage is, there is, of course, a greater harm, and that's to believe you're on your way to heaven, but yet be still mm-hmm. destined for a Christless eternity. And that's our greatest concern, is to show Catholics that they are being deceived by a false gospel so that they would come to know the truth and be set free from the bondage of their sin mm-hmm. and be saved. Right now, there's 1 billion Roman Catholics in the world, and from our experience and from the fact that they are hearing another gospel being preached, the great majority of Roman Catholics do not have the hope of eternal life. They have a false hope because they believed a false gospel.
Mm-hmm. Again, for those of us who have come out of Roman Catholicism, in my case, 25 years ago, how about you, Mike? How long ago?
Well, it's now been 20 years.
20 years. Now, that was a different time. I know I was encouraged by evangelicals. These are the people who encouraged me to really to come to know, to help me understand what the gospel was and receive the gospel by faith and by faith alone. Yet, so they were there for me. But my concern today is when people come out of Rome, the Church of Rome, who's there for them?
Well, hopefully our ministries will be there for them. That's one of the things that both the Berean Call and the Ministry of Proclaiming the Gospel do, is we have opportunities for Catholics to become confirmed in their faith through the materials that we've produced. But also, one of the things that we do is when Catholics come out and they're looking for churches in different areas of the country, we will direct them to solid evangelical Bible churches that preach a pure doctrine and a pure gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important, of course. We know from scriptures that once the seed, the imperishable seed of God's word, has been planted in a believer's heart, the devil has a chance to come and snatch that seed out. And so we need to get these new believers plugged into an evangelical church so that they can be discipled in the truth of God's Word.
Mm-hmm. Mike, that's why we have great concern, because of course there are solid churches out there that believe that God's Word, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book, that's the authority. And we know there are many churches that are committed to that. But my concern is, again, Mike, going back to the issue of leadership, even pastors, when it comes to speaking out with regard to the gospel of Rome versus the biblical gospel. I'm not seeing many, and that's the reports that we get. We get letters from all over the world. We get many, many letters from people in this country, and we see a concern that my church, yes, they minister to me and I'm growing in the Lord, but there's no encouragement to go back now. I'm talking about former Catholics, to go back now and witness and encourage my family members, my loved ones.
Well, we do have a problem within a lot of Bible churches today because, as you say, pastors do not speak out. They do not warn against the false gospel of Roman Catholicism. And Tom, you probably get letters and phone calls as we do. Pastors call us and they want our help after the fact. Pastors will call and say, my Sunday school teacher just left to join the Roman Catholic Church. I need your help. And of course, I respond. I ask him, I say, well, did you ever preach against the deception that is within the Roman Catholic Church? And the answer is always no. We never have preached against it. And so then they wonder why their people are leaving. In fact, even their leaders are leaving. Mm-hmm. We've heard of pastors and seminary students and evangelical seminaries that have left to join the Catholic Church. And as you know, the great allurement there is that they are said to offer the fullness of salvation. And we know that the Roman Catholic Church only offers a partial salvation. We know from the scriptures that those who believe the gospel have an offer of the complete forgiveness of sin, of permanent right standing before God forever. They have the assurance of eternal life and an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. And the Catholic Church does not offer those four things. And so how can they say they have the fullness of salvation? But yet that's what's deceiving many evangelicals today. They're going to the Catholic Church because of the liturgy, because of the sacraments, because of the Eucharist, and yet they're being deceived.
Mm-hmm. Mike, going back to the conference we recently, we put it together. It was a Word of Life International Fellowship in conjunction with Reaching Catholics for Christ, and it was a terrific time. I think the makeup of the conference attendees was, I would say, almost 80% former Catholics. Now, why would they come to something like this, Mike? What do you think?
Well, they have a concern, number one, to reach their loved ones, their family members that are still held in captivity in the Roman Catholic Church, and they have a concern to reach their neighbors and their coworkers, their friends. And so a lot of times they don't know that tools are available. A lot of times they don't know how to effectively witness to their loved ones. And that's the nature of Roman Catholicism. You see, Catholics already believe in a Jesus. It just so happens it's not the Jesus of the Bible. And so Catholics are frustrated in their attempts to reach their loved ones.
Mike, let me interrupt you. Why would you say that it's not the Jesus of the Bible? How can you say that the Roman Catholic Church preaches a different Jesus?
Well, the Jesus of the Scriptures is an all-sufficient Savior that saves sinners completely and forever.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Catholic Church, the Jesus merely opened the gates of heaven by his death on the cross. That's what the Catechism will teach. And so Catholics must now cooperate with God's grace, and they must merit the graces necessary to walk through those gates that Jesus opened. It's not Christ alone. It's Christ plus their works.
Mm-hmm. So the burden is on the individual. Yes, Christ, as you said, did much. I remember, and I know I've quoted this many times on our program, Jim McCarthy, one of our co-founders of Reaching Catholics for Christ, along with you, Mike, and Greg Durrell, and myself, and he was on a bus with a nun. This was in Ireland, and they were talking about their respective beliefs and religion. And the nun had some ideas that would seem to be according to God's Word, according to the Scriptures. But she said this to Jim. She said, "You believe that Jesus paid 100% the full penalty for our sins. whereas I believe that Jesus paid 99% and I need to pay that 1%. And you do that through expiation of your own sins, through works, through deeds, through sufferings, not only here, but also in purgatory. Now, come on, Mike, it's just 1% difference. Why could that be a problem?
Well, 1% is the difference between heaven and hell, because we must come to the cross with empty hands of faith, trusting only in God's grace, which is his unmerited and undeserved favor. And I think that's the greatest lie of the devil, is to make people believe that they can actually do something for their salvation.
Yeah.
1 ounce of human effort on top of God's grace will actually nullify God's grace. And so when we witness to Catholics, we must persuade them to repent of all these things that cannot save them, that have been added to the gospel. That means they need to forsake their own righteousness, forsake their good works, forsake indulgences, forsake the idea of purgatory, and trust in the all-sufficient Savior.
See, what we're saying here, Mike, and you can add to this, that Jesus alone could pay the penalty that God's justice required. In order for men to be set free, to be reconciled to God, Jesus had to do it, and he had to do it completely. And the penalty was not just something that we former Catholics and maybe Catholics out there are thinking, well, I have to do penance, I have to say some rosaries, I have to kind of get squared away with God by something that I do. No, the penalty was infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And only Jesus, he is the only one, only God who became a man, could pay the full penalty. So to think that I could pay 1%, and that would sort of be my part in this. No, if the penalty is infinite, 1% of infinity is still infinity.
That's right. It's also an insult to the Lord Jesus for attempting to do what he's already done.
An out-and-out rejection of what he... Now, if our listeners are thinking, well, where are these guys coming from? This is what the Scriptures teach. We have been going, and we'll sort of pick up next week, continuing with the Galatians, Paul's epistle to the Galatians. And that's clearly what Paul is teaching. You add one thing to Christ's finished work on the cross, whether it be circumcision, whether it be feast day, whether it be sacramentalisms, whatever it might be, you are rejecting the gospel of God. You are rejecting what he has accomplished for us. And it's another gospel.
That's right. And we know that there's only one gospel that has the power for salvation to those who believe it. Any other gospel leads people to a Christless eternity, and that's the reason we have such great compassion for Roman Catholics who are where we were, believing another gospel, and they have this false hope.
Mike, again, we've got about 2 minutes left, but I just want to mention some things about a conference. We put on Reaching Catholics for Christ conference a couple of times a year. We're looking forward to 2003. We'll probably have maybe 3 or 4 conferences. So my recommendation, if you're a former Catholic or if just somebody who has a heart for Roman Catholics would like to get together with like-minded believers, with those who have a heart to minister to Roman Catholics, we recommend that you check our website. It's called reachingcatholics.org. And you'll have not only interesting articles on there, they're written by Mike, myself, many others. You'll find a conference schedule. We probably had one on there. This was for the Scroon Lake Conference, which we just recently attended. But there will be some which we'll be setting up probably by the end of the year, looking forward to next year, to a schedule that would bring like-minded believers together.
Yeah, and we'd look forward to hosting another one. This was our 6th one. And I believe as we continue to do conferences, we are learning more and more about how to most effectively present the truth so that former Catholics can be better equipped to reach out to the lost.
Yeah, Michael,
one of the highlights of this conference, Tom, I thought was the baptisms. I think we had 9 former Catholics that received a believer's baptism. And we know that as Catholics, we received infant baptism, but all that did was get us wet as babies. We had no faith in anything.
Mike, also, in addition to some terrific teaching, our get-togethers. You interact with people. There were sessions in which we just talked about what's going on at our local church, what we can do, how we can help our pastors, how we can, maybe if a church is overburdened in this area or uninformed, how we can inform the local body as to how you go about ministering to Roman Catholics. Again, this is a mission field that is so, it's like forsaken and forgotten, Mike, right? And here in this country, one in every four Americans is a Roman Catholic. So you don't have to go very far to begin to utilize what God has freely given you, and that is the gospel and witnessing to the glory of God and for the sake of those who, as we've said, are in total bondage.
Well, the exciting thing about these conferences, too, is we've seen how God has raised up certain individuals that will carry on the ministry in the local area once we have departed. And, of course, all the tools are available now for anyone who wants to reach out to this huge mission field. They can begin by doing home Bible studies or doing little outreaches in their local churches and gathering former Catholics together that have the same burden to reach this 1 billion souls. And so it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing in each one of the conferences.
Amen.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Mike, this listener writes, according to Catholic apologist promotions, large number of Protestants are converting to Roman Catholicism. I'd like to know if that's true, and if so, why do you think that may be taking place, even if the numbers are less than implied? Well, I know they're making a great promotion out of the idea that many former evangelicals, even those pastors and so on, are converting, Mike. So I don't know about the numbers, and there's no way to really check that out. But we do know this is taking place. Why do you think, Mike?
Well, I think the key is that they're Protestants. I don't believe that a born-again Christian can apostatize, can go from the truth, reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then join a Catholic church that teaches another gospel.
Right.
I think that's spiritually impossible. So what we're having are Protestants that have tasted maybe the truth of God's word. They have the head knowledge, but then
they've also had association with true believers?
Sure, they've been part of believing fellowships,
right.
But then for one reason or another, we talked about one earlier about being lured into the Catholic Church for the fullness of salvation, of which they do not offer. And so the Bible is clear about in the end times that people will depart from sound doctrine, they'll reject the gospel. And these are people who at one time were professing Christians, and I think we have an example in the New Testament, Judas, who walked with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years, and he experienced the blessings. He heard the word of God being preached from Jesus himself. And yet at the end, he rejected the faith for 30 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the same thing happening today. There's great deception. The Lord Jesus warned about that. That would be one of the signs of the end of the age, false teachers and false Christ and false prophets deceiving even the elect if possible. So we know from Scripture that the deception will be so great that even the elect could be deceived. That's how spiritually dark, I believe, it's getting.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how the lines have been blurred. It used to be biblical Christianity was white and Roman Catholicism was black, but now you see a lot of gray. You see the lines being blurred.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I think one of the attractions has to do with, well, it's all of the flesh, but in terms of the flesh, people are drawn to liturgies, to the sacraments. It's as though there are things going on in the Catholic Church, whether it be the rituals, incense, the mass, really process things, but they're sense-oriented, so they attract people.
You're right, it appeals to the flesh. Man loves to boast in his own efforts, and when you can go to a church that says you can participate in your salvation by doing good works, and that you can get to heaven based on your own righteousness and not the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, that appeals to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The world tells us that we need to first see and then we'll believe. The Lord Jesus said you must first believe and then you will see.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church is full of things that you can actually see. As you mentioned, the rituals, the liturgy, the candles, the crucifix, the altar, the Eucharist, the priesthood. These are all things that appeal, again, to the sight and to the flesh. And so as Catholics partake in those things, they see and then they believe. But Jesus said you must first believe, and then you will see things that are spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mike, for those who claim to have been evangelicals, This is a mystery to me. You would think, now again I say you would think, that they would have understood the gospel, that you are saved by faith alone, and the reason, as we discussed earlier, it has to be that way because there's nothing else you can do. Jesus either paid the full penalty and you just put your faith in him, or there's something that you need to do. But as we said, that doesn't work. Now, here's my question. How can an evangelical, if he truly understands the gospel and that it's by faith and only by faith, and he understood that as an evangelical, how then can he turn to something that is so works-oriented? Mike, remember at the conference we talked about the RCIA, that is the right of Christian, actually Catholic, right of Catholic initiation for adults. And that is the conversion process for anyone who would desire, an adult who would desire to join the Catholic Church. But that's clearly all works even to get into the church, isn't it?
That's right, it is. And you ask, how can this happen?
Yeah.
How can professing believers reject the true gospel of grace by faith alone in Christ alone? Well, that's how powerful the deception is. There's just such an appeal to the Roman Catholic Church. And I don't know about you, Tom, but it's quite disgusting when I actually see pictures of the pontiff on television and all of his fabulous robes and his, oh, his mitre hats and all. It just is so disturbing to me because I know that I was once deceived by this. And, you know, we at one time believed that we were in the one true church and we saw all the trappings, but it's a great deception, isn't it?
It is. And if you're biblically oriented, I mean, if you're a believer, that's the way you have to go. But if that's your orientation, for example, you use the scriptures, you look at not only the teachings of scriptures, but the examples of Christ, of Paul, and others, and then compare it to what the Catholic Church not only teaches, but what it does. Again, it's like night and day. There's just no comparison.
Yeah, we see a great appeal. This Pope they have, John Paul II, he lives in a 900-room mansion, and he claims to be the representative of Jesus Christ on this earth. Christ, when he walked the earth, did not even have a place to lay his head. What a horrible contrast it is to see all the wealth and power within the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Mike, we could probably do a whole couple of programs on this, but the beloved John, writer of the Gospel and certainly the book of Revelation, along with his three epistles, John was stunned by an image, the woman on the beast. This is really an indication of the Roman Catholic Church, that there would be a religious system. And I think he was shocked by it. And I think the things that shocked him were just the things that you're laying out, Mike, that here was the body of Christ now in an organization, a system that's so massive, has so much money, has so much power. And I know that John is looking at it not only from the vantage point of where he is, but looking ahead. It's like the Lord opened his eyes to what this had become, and it was too much for him.
Well, it was. And when you stop and think of the life the apostles had, they were mostly former fishermen and had no wealth at all. They were persecuted by the world. And now you see the Roman Catholic Church that is loved by the world, and the Pope becomes the most admired man in the world year in and year out. And so it really is quite a contrast, and we can see why John was so shocked when he saw the vision.
Mm-hmm. Mike, John had some interesting things to say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But going back to why those who claim to be evangelicals and then convert to the Roman Catholic Church, didn't John say they left us because they were never part of us? They were never believers.
That's right.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer many teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number A1012. and please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you can tune in again next week for According to God's Word.